Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Hope that you had a great week and ate a hot dog and shot fireworks and just enjoyed our great country. Or maybe just enjoyed some downtime or time with family, whatever it may be. But we're grateful that you're here. Thank you for joining us. If you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. There's a couple ways we would love to connect with you. If you are a guest with us today, there's a card in the pew back in front of you there. You can fill that information out, and at the end of service, you can either leave it in the pew or you can leave it in the offering plate as we leave today. If you've joined us online, or if your preference here in person is to do this, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, and you can fill that information out. It's a way for us to connect with you. And again, either one of those helps us know that you're here and how we might be able to serve your family. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with us today. I want to make you aware of a few things that are happening and coming up in the life and ministry of our church. First of all, we have a group that's leaving this week, headed to Memphis for our Memphis mission trip. And so we'll pray over. I'll make a few more comments about that, but we'll pray over our team before we conclude today. And then the next week is the ARVBA mission trip that is coming up. And so got a great team assembled for that. And so a couple great weeks here, some mission opportunities, and looking forward to that. Notice in the bulletin on the 25th, there's a Young at Heart potluck that is scheduled. And then also on the 28th, we have scheduled a potluck as Miss Linda Burge will be retiring, and we are grateful for her service to Second Baptist. And so any good way to say thanks to a Baptist is to eat in their name, in their honor. So we are sad that she's retiring, but we're going to try to help get over it by eating some fried chicken or something. So anyway, but hope that you'll make plans to be with us for that. Also, we wanted to go ahead and get on your radar in September. We are planning to have a series of revival meetings that'll begin on September 8th. That is a Sunday, and Evangelist Sam Moore will be with us. And so that'll be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night series of services. And so I hope that you'll make plans. We'll begin getting more information out about that week, and then also there'll be more information coming about different prayer meetings and prayer emphasis and just gearing up and getting ready for that time. And so we wanted to make you aware of that and go ahead and block out that time and plan to be at as many of those services as you can. Well, we're looking forward to this morning and time together. The Bible says this. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And so I don't know what your week's been like. Maybe it's been a great week. Maybe it's been a tough week, or that he's just zapped it out of you. I don't know. But today's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And so even sometimes when we don't feel like it's good for us to sing, it's good for us to be reminded of truth as we worship the Lord together. And sometimes we just need to sing ourselves happy and trust the Lord. And so I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a time where we sing to the Lord. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you are good and gracious and kind, and we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and affection toward us. And God, I pray this morning as we worship you in spirit and in truth, God, that you be glorified. Lord, help us to rejoice in this day that you made, this opportunity to gather together to sing your praises, to declare truth of who you are. Lord, I pray that you ready our hearts. Help us to block out all the distractions, all the things going on that might distract us from this time with you. I pray, God, you give us focus. Lord, teach us, help us to grow, help us be more like you. Minister to us today. We love you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing, "Blessed Be the Name"?
Thank you. for a thousand tongues to sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, the name that charms us.
For a moment there, those are some good upbeat songs. As we as Pastor Chris said, we're singing ourselves happy this morning because we're talking about the goodness of God, that even in our lives things will go well and we can praise Him. But sometimes we have difficulty, don't we? And even in those moments, we can turn those moments back to praise to God, because He is holy. Amen. He is holy now, He was holy back then, and He will be holy forever.
Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Yours is the glory, yours is the name. a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's something about the name of Jesus. I'm not sure where you might be spiritually in terms of salvation or spiritually in your walk with the Lord. But it may just be that you might need a fresh touch from the Lord today. I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and looking at Jesus healing a man. And let me just give you the conclusion here at the beginning. The Lord Jesus is capable of healing anybody at any time of any physical issue that could be going on. Jesus is also able to heal of any spiritual and emotional issue going on. And I don't know what's brought you in here today, but it may be that you would say, Pastor, maybe there's something physical in your life. We're going to unpack this. I know some of you already getting a little bit intense, you know, tensing up a little bit. But you may just simply say, I really do need a fresh touch from the Lord. I need a renewing. I need a strengthening. There's some things going on in my life that I need Him. We're going to have a time of response here in a little bit when I get done sharing with you just some truth from this scripture, from this passage. My hope is prayer. Hope and prayer is that we'll just be open to allowing the Lord to do whatever it is He wants to do. And so John chapter 5 is about a man that is healed. And we're going to unpack this and look at some truths from this text. And so I know you just sat down, so if you'll forgive me, but John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Let me pray. Jesus, we love and adore you. We declare today together that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray in that name that if anybody here who doesn't know you, God, that you would save them today. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that anybody struggling, physical or otherwise, God, that you would minister to them today. And God, I pray that, God, you would do a work that you may be glorified for your glory and for your name's sake. Teach us from your word today. Help us to be more like you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message today is Made Well. Made Well. The main idea, if you're taking notes, is Jesus has the power to make us well. Jesus has the power to make us well. So then the question in the text is this: can God still heal today? Does Jesus still have the power and the authority? Does He still have the ability to heal folks today? Well, there's some truths from this text that I want us to see, and we're going to unpack this, and we're going to talk about what the Lord does in this passage and what He does in and around us. So we're going to look at that this morning. So number one, there are other possibilities to be healed. There are other possibilities to be healed. I want you to look at the text with me. There's a transition that happens. You know, I've been preaching through the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 1 sets the stage. 2, 3, and 4 introduce Jesus as the only way of salvation. And then we get into chapter 5, and this transition starts to take place. And we're going to see this in the coming weeks because we're going to start to see where Jesus starts to face some adversity and starts to face the beginning of persecution. Okay, and it starts here in this chapter, and we're introduced to it at the end of our text. We'll talk a little bit about that, but nonetheless, here in chapter 5, we have Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and verse 1 says this: after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And so it was customary for people to travel into Jerusalem for these feast, and we're not told which feast it is, and we're again one of John's themes. We're getting ready to see some of the different feasts that take place throughout the Gospel of John, but he doesn't tell us specifically which one is here, and I don't think that's of utmost importance, otherwise the scripture would have given it to us. But go on to verse 2. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after having the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, I have to hit pause here and chase a rabbit for just a moment, okay? But it's with purpose, all right? It may be I'm reading out of the New King James. That's what I preach out of. That's what my preference is. I read other translations, and I think other translations are good and useful and so on and so forth. But what I need to make mention to you, it may be that you're following along in your Bible, and you're in your copy of the Scripture, the end of verse 3 and verse 4 might not be there, okay? They're essentially translations are based off one of two, what we believe to be old, the one of two different manuscripts, all right? There's a lot of debate, a lot of scholarship, and a lot more people got more time than I do to look at it and a lot smarter than me, back and forth about which set of manuscripts are the best or most accurate or original, okay? And so many of the, there was a certain set of manuscripts that the King James and New King James were translated from. Many of the newer modern translations are translated from a different set of manuscripts, okay? I don't have any purpose or any, we don't have time for me to dig in and talk all about that, okay? But I just wanted you to be aware, there's some debate over the inclusion of the end of verse 3 and verse 4. But here's what I need you to see and understand. Whether it's in there or it's not in there, it does not change the meaning of the text. Are you with me? Okay? So don't let the enemy come alongside you and cause any doubt. Don't let the enemy, stir you up over a translation or a different translation. But I just need you to see it doesn't change the point and the drive of this text, okay? So I knew that some may not have that in there and there'd be questions, and I just quickly wanted to address that. But here's what I need you to see is that there was a group of folks next to this pool at Bethesda, and there were a lot of people there, and they at least believed that getting down into the water at a particular time would bring healing. And here's what I need you to see. We're going to talk more about this. This man had been there 38 years. And so you probably don't commit 38 years of your life and not have seen some change in at least a few people or whatever the case may be. And all I wanted to do this morning is we set the table because we're going to see Jesus do a supernatural miracle in this man's life. And I just wanted to stop by and say this, is that before that, even no matter what happens at this pool, and we don't have a lot of information about it, but we know this, is that God uses other means to bring about healings in people's life and work in their life, right? Thank God for the development of modern medicine. and modern doctors and technology and all sorts of things that God has used to bring about healing and restoration. God uses counselors to help people work through some real mental difficulties and mental health issues. I mean, God uses a variety of resources to bring about healing and good things in people's lives. Amen? That was a little weak, all right? All right? Y'all okay? Heat got you from the week. I know, it was hot. But God uses other means and other things to bring about healing and restoration in people's lives. Here we just see that God, how this is happening or what exactly is happening, we don't have a lot of information about it, and that's okay. But God chooses to do different things in people's lives for His glory and His name's sake. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, and with whom there is no variation of shadow or shadow of turning. Thank God for the way that God chooses to work and move and uses all sorts of things in our lives to protect us, to provide for us, to care for us. The Bible says every good gift comes from above. And so we want to thank God that there are other possibilities. There's other ways that God uses to bring about healing and restoration in an individual's life, okay? So number two, there are great paralysis to be healed. Look at verses 5 and 6. Now a certain man, okay, so the stage is set. There's all these individuals there. Verse 5, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years, some sort of disability. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to them, do you want to be made well? This man was not just some one-off individual. The Bible tells us here there were several individuals like that. As we think about the life and ministry of Jesus, he often meets individuals, those that are blind. We'll read about one in a moment. We'll read about and just so many times where Jesus heals folks that has all sorts of disabilities, all sorts of things going on in their life. And the Lord Jesus, as we see throughout the Gospels in this life and ministry of Jesus, we see these glimpses of His power and His authority all over these disabilities and these things that are going on. I just want you to hear and take away from this is that there's no struggle, whether physical, emotional, spiritual, there's no struggle, there's no disability, there's no issue in your life that's so great that God can't move in that. God can't work. He's not walking around wringing His hands going, oh man, I've never seen that before. What am I going to do? I've never seen that struggle. I've never seen that disability. I've never seen that happen before. I mean, sometimes we get in situations, especially in medical situations, and the doctor comes in, well, I've never encountered this before. Boy, isn't that encouraging, right? That'll bless your heart. It's never happened for God. He's never been caught off guard. He's never been overwhelmed. Same is true with this man. He's walking by and he picks out this man that's had this disability for 38 years. And it wasn't too great or too big for him. He wasn't overwhelmed by it. And you just need to be reminded this morning, as we sing about blessed be the name of the Lord, we sang there are no rivals, there are no equals. That includes disease. That includes disabilities. That includes emotional trauma. There are no rivals for the name of Jesus. So I want you to hear a few more testimonies from the Word of God about things that the Lord has done. In Mark chapter 2, verse 3 on through 12, says, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who is carried by four men. You remember this story. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that he had reasoned thus with themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Hey, listen, aren't we a group of folks that are walking testimonies of the power of God? Because I'm sure there are many folks in this room that you at least know of, if not had the personal experience, where the test results came back and they were not good, and they went back in and man, somehow, some way, they got it wrong and it wasn't there. But how about even further than that? Let's press into the spiritual that, listen, for many of us in this room that have surrendered our heart and life to Jesus, all of us in this room that surrendered our heart and life to Jesus, we are dead men walking, come back to life, because the Bible says, for those of us that are in our sins, we are dead, separated from a holy God. But when He saved us, He changed us, the old man is put away, and a new man is born again. And listen, friend, I've just come along to tell you this morning that there is no paralysis, there is no disease, there is no trauma that is so significant God doesn't know what to do with. And man, He can minister to you. He can do things in your life that nobody else can. And for many of you, you have testimonies that God has done just that. Luke chapter 4, verses 40 and 41 says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. The Lord Jesus healed all sorts of sickness and disease and struggles. So there's great possibilities. There's great paralysis. Number three, there's great passion. There's great passion. I want you to notice in verses 6 and 7 again. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he was already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, another one steps down before me. Did you notice that the man did not really even answer the question? Jesus asked him, hey, do you want to be made well? It's fascinating that this is the man that Jesus picks out. This is the one that Jesus addresses. Do you want to be made well? And he is so caught up in his situation. He's so caught up, and in some ways rightfully so, because for decades he has struggled. He has wanted healing. He has wanted relief. But anytime he thinks he would get close to it or be on the edge of getting relief, somebody would beat him to the water. And so here Jesus is asking him a simple question, him struggling to even answer such a question, but he no doubt has a desire to be healed because he's been there 38 years waiting, trying to make and get an opportunity for his chance. See something similar in Mark chapter 10, verse 47 through 52. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Man, this man has far more intensity and passion and recognition of who Jesus is than the lame man that we're reading about. He is there, and the Son of God asks him if he wants to be made well, and he doesn't even give a direct answer. Listen, we live in a day and time where there's a whole lot of prosperity preachers, and there's also a whole lot of faith preachers out there that if you just have enough faith, God will heal you. If you just have enough faith, God will do this. And certainly, the Bible's clear, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's no question, there's no doubt about that. But friend, I also need you to see, there were a lot of individuals at this pool. We don't have record. Jesus healed a lot of people. We don't have record. We don't know what happened. But it seems to indicate that not everybody here was healed. But even this man did not demonstrate faith. He was not saying, even we read about the blind man, he had great faith. Jesus points to his faith. But in this moment, what I need you to see is the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus, where he looks on this man and he, out of the goodness, out of the abundance of who he is, heals this man. I can't stand before you and explain why there are times when individuals lose a child and another family does not. Why somebody, man, God does a miraculous work in their life and God allows this person to struggle with this. I don't have all of those answers. I can't explain all of those things. But I am here to tell you that Jesus can move and work in your life. And I need to tell you, stop letting the enemy lie to you and destroy you, because he comes alongside and sits on your shoulder and lies and said, if you just did this, if you just acted this way, if you just had enough, and he sits and he lies and he loads up all this guilt on you. And friend, that's not of the Lord. The Lord Jesus walks by this man and says, Do you want to be made well? He doesn't demonstrate great faith, but it's just the grace and mercy of God. And so, there is great passion that Jesus wants to heal this man. And then number four, there's a great physician to give healing. There's a great physician. Notice the text. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up your bed, and walk. You know what's fascinating to me as I was reading this? There's no great pronouncement. There's no, hey, you're healed. There's no big ceremony. Why? Because this was nothing for Jesus. He didn't have to break a sweat. He didn't have to work hard for it. He didn't have to do all this extra effort, but rather Jesus decided to heal this man, and he just says, hey, get up, take your bed, and go. Because he is the great physician. He's the one that can bring healing. Verse 9 says, and immediately the man was made well. Aren't you grateful that when the Lord works, it's a complete work? He doesn't heal partially. He doesn't renew things partially. He doesn't restore things partially, but rather he was made well. He was made whole. He was made complete. Immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. What was it like for that man? Almost 4 decades of disability, of struggle. But in this moment, in this encounter with the Lord Jesus, he changes his life forever. Friend, I don't dare claim to know that God will do this or will do that. But this is what I do know. There is nothing that you are facing or dealing with that God can't. Sometimes He allows us to struggle because He's teaching us things. He's using it for His glory and His name's sake. We see throughout the Scripture, Paul cries out for relief. Thorn in his side. And the Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." And so sometimes God allows some things in our life where we struggle. And it's hard, and it's difficult, and it's painful. Because God is teaching us some things. God is helping us grow. God is giving us opportunities that we may be able to minister to others that are going through this. Because here's the reality. We live in a sin-sick, fallen world. And we struggle with disease and death and trauma. There are times we struggle with those things because it's a result of our own sinfulness. But there are times we struggle with those things just because we live in a sin-sick, fallen world. But dear friend, I need to remind you this morning that Jesus is still the great physician. And I can't stand here this morning and promise you that this side of heaven He will. But I can stand here before you this morning and say unequivocally that He can. That He can. Isaiah 35:3-6 says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." There is a day coming. There is a land that is coming where there will be no more disease, where there will be no more trauma, where there will be no more lame and no more broken down and no more beaten up, no more death. There's a day coming and there's a land coming where all of that is abolished and the Lord Jesus reigns supreme. And He is the great physician. And so friend, I don't know what you came with this morning. All I know is that the Lord Jesus still can. And I often think that God wants to do more in our lives than we give Him opportunity to be honest with you. Because I do think there needs to be a position of our heart where we look to Him and say, "God, we need You. I need You. I need You to work in my life. I need You to work in this situation." Sometimes God does some really miraculous things physically. But also know that He does some things spiritually. And I do know that for anybody who's lost without Christ, the greatest miracle man has ever experienced is the miracle of salvation. And I do know that every time a lost person comes to Him and repents and believes, God answers that every single time. And for those of us that are believers, you may say, yeah, I've got a hurting back and some things, but really there's some more going on spiritually that I need restoration. I need from the Lord. I know we're looking at something physical here this morning, but if the Lord Jesus can do this, He can meet you right where you're at spiritually. And so our time of invitation is going to be this. First of all, if you've never surrendered your heart life to Jesus, surrender to Him today. It may be that you're struggling with some things as a believer, and you just want to come get on this altar and ask God to do what only He can. And God may choose to do something supernatural like He did in this man's life. And God may choose to use other means to bring about healing and restoration in our lives. And it may mean that God allows us to continue to struggle with some things, that we may bring glory to Him and use it to minister to others on down the road. But friend, let's look to Him this morning and trust Him. So if you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes with me, and we're going to just have a time of response. If you need salvation, I hope that you'll pray and repent and place your faith and trust in Him. God, I pray that anybody here who doesn't know You, God, I pray that You would save them. Give them grace to repent of their sin and place their faith and trust in Christ. God, I pray this morning for folks that may just be struggling physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, I pray that You give us grace to look to You and trust You to do what only You can. Lord, we believe that You're still a great physician and You can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, imagine, or hope for. So God, we just pray this morning. I pray, God, and ask You to help us to get over ourselves and just lay ourselves out before You and ask You to do what only You can. If you've never repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can pray right where you're at and ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins and be the boss of your life, and God says He'll save you. You may pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I give my life totally to You and ask You to save me." I pray in Jesus' name. You remain in attitude of prayer. If you just prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, I'm going to invite you to come. Say, "Pastor Chris, I prayed that." If you're a believer, I'm going to invite you. Man, God, whatever reason, the Lord ministered to your heart today. You're asking Him to, want to ask Him to do some things in your life. Maybe just struggling. Say, "I need a fresh touch from the Lord." I'm going to invite you to come and just get on this altar and ask God to do what only He can do. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Let's take just a couple moments here to look to the Lord and trust the Lord in what only He can do. You come.
Heart and every mind.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here. We are just grateful that you chose to be with us and worship with us today. We are getting ready to have, we're leaving, some of us leave tomorrow for Memphis. We're going to pray over our group in just a moment. But as we leave today, be an opportunity to give to the Lord. And so just an opportunity to do that. If you're a guest, we don't hopefully feel no obligation to do that whatsoever. Your presence here is a gift, and we're grateful for that. But we will have an opportunity to give and thank the Lord for just all that He does in our life, how He provides and ministers to us. And so with that, here in a minute, we're going to go ahead. Well, I'll tell you what, let me go ahead and pray for our offering. We're going to give as we leave. And then after that, I'm going to invite my family and Pastor Jonathan and I think Brother Jerry's going to come up and pray for our team as we get ready to leave. But let me pray for our offering, and then we'll pray for our mission team as we leave today. God, you're good and gracious. Thank you so much for all the gifts that you give us and how you entrust us with so much. I pray be faithful in giving to you as you've first given to us. And Lord, bless this offering and use it for your kingdom and your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Pastor Jonathan's going to come, and also my family. And then Adam will be joining us. He's on his way this evening from Texas. And so he'll be joining us this week. We're joining with First Baptist Branch. As well, they've got a group of about 10 or so that are headed there this week. And so we'll leave, some of us will leave tomorrow, some of us a little bit later in the week, and then back on Friday. And so we'll go into different areas, communities, neighborhoods, and projects and give away snow cones and share the gospel. So I hope you'll be praying for us this week, and we'll try to give you updates along the way and pray for a great harvest of souls. That God will be glorified, okay? All right, well, let's stand together. And Brother Jerry, I'm going to ask you to lead us in a word of prayer, if you would, and then we'll be dismissed.
Father in heaven.